Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, October 12, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 34, the second paragraph, for those who are unable to drink moderately, ending with, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Debbie P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Reader of the text, Sherry Z. Lois P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Penny L. C. The reference number for Tuesday, October 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,502. That's 19,502. And for this morning, Wednesday, October 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,504. That's 19,504. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Christina M., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Excuse me. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone on the line today. My name is Debbie P. I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. And Dawn, thank you very much for your service and everybody on the line. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much. Have a great meeting, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 34, the second paragraph, for those who are unable to drink moderately, ending, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Sherry Z. to read and share with us.
Good morning, visionaries. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Good morning, good morning. Sherry Z., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Don, and everyone who gives service, and thank you for the newcomer for being on this morning. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or wish. Again, Sherry, compulsive overeater, recovered in Los Angeles. There's so much to unpack with this paragraph because literally every word is golden. So I will just go slowly in my 3 minutes and unpack. The reader desires to stop. I had a desire to stop compulsive overeating since I was 7 years old. But the desire was not enough. 30 plus years ago, I came into OA in 1999, and I really did believe that food was the problem, and I could not get recovered. It's not that I didn't believe in the non-spiritual basis. I believed that God could help me. It's that I thought that food was the problem, but it was life that was the problem, and the mental twist. Because I had a mental blank spot. I could not remember the horror of the food. And thus I lost the power to choose. And by the way, it says many of us felt we had plenty of character. I was a good person, or at least I thought. And to the best of my ability, I mean, I hadn't done terrible things in my life, but with the food I had lied, I had cheated, I had said things to myself and to others that weren't true. And I heard right when I came into Vision, almost a year ago, November 1st will be a year by the grace of God. It's not for people who need it. It's not for people that want it. It's for people who do it, according to Harlan. And I realized I was doing it until it didn't feel good. And then life would build up and I would say, oh, I can't, I want it. I need it, but I don't want to do it. And now I don't let me be in charge of when I do program or not. I have this routine that literally is an insurance, because that's the baffling feature of compulsive overeating. It's, I could not leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And I just want to say that almost a year ago, I came into a Vision for You after 32 years in OA, and I could get spurts and jumps and months but of abstinence, but I never had food neutrality. And for God willing, the last year, I've had food neutrality by the grace of God. And it is truly, truly a gift from God. And it's not because I wanted it. I wanted it all these years. And it's not because I needed it. I have needed it since as long as I can remember. It is from the fact that I did it. And it's a lot of work. And it has freed me up in every single way, because I feel what true freedom feels like. And I cannot say how grateful I am in enough words. And I just want to say to the newcomer, please come back. This is the baffling feature, and you can have food neutrality. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z, for getting us started. I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Joanna L.
From Canby, Oregon.
Okay, I heard Joanne L. and I heard Melanie C.
Jen Z.
Okay, I have Joanne L., Melanie C., and Jen Z. Who else?
Barbara N.
Was there a Barbara?
Yes.
Okay, Barbara. And who else?
Ann S.
And who else?
Cynthia N. N as in Nancy.
N. Okay, I have Joanne L., Melanie C., Jen Z., Barbara, Ann S., and Cynthia N. Did I miss anyone?
Jordan L.,
okay, that's a great lineup. Let's go ahead and take that. Joanne L., please get us started, followed by Melanie C.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm so sorry, Dawn. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I am finally in the recovery state. And I have to just say something. I did not want to ever admit that I was a compulsive overeater. I just did my own thing, you know, for the longest time. I've been coming on this line for millions of years. I've been to conferences and this and that. And, you know, there was a couple of times that maybe I got a little bit abstinent, but that didn't last for long. And, you know, I could never just wish this disease away. And I knew it. I just wanted to do my own thing. I live alone. And so at night, that's when I just wanted to get out my snacks and I just wanted to eat whatever the heck I wanted to eat. And I was killing myself. And it was one day that I had spoken to a friend. She came home from Florida and we were visiting, and I said to her, have I gained weight? Now, what a question. I knew what the answer was. And she said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, you did. Just like that. And I said, a lot. And so she goes, yeah, I would say at least 15 pounds. Now, that might not sound like much, but I have to tell you something. I knew right then and there that I needed to do something. I knew it all along. I just wasn't ready. I just wanted to do my thing. I wanted to leave God out of it. I wanted to put God in a bottle, like a genie. You know, take him out when I needed him, put the plug back on, you know, when I didn't want him to see what I was doing. And I wouldn't go to him when I wanted to eat something that I wasn't supposed to eat. I thought that he couldn't see me, you know, because I wasn't going to him. But I have to tell you, that next day, I said, that's it. I just felt like my fat was choking me. I got on the scale, I weighed myself, and I also belong to another meeting, you know, where I have been recovered for 29 years. It will be in January. And I so bad wanted to be recovered with the food because I just want to help other people. And I know that I can. I can help other people in so many areas. And now, you know, with the help of God and my abstinence and working the steps, I'm in the Big Book Step Study. And you know what? I am living so free, and I put that food down, and what I did was I went through my house, and I got rid of everything that wasn't my food, and I took pictures of it. You know, I see people that take pictures of themselves, you know, as they lose weight. I said, no, someday I'm going to show you all the food that I ate. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be able to speak today. And I just want to say thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Joanne L. Melanie C., please share with us, followed by Jen Z.
Thank you so much, Don B. Good morning to you. Good morning to everybody that's on the line this morning. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop forever. It says all together in this book, but I like the idea of to stay stopped and forever. You know, I look at this particular paragraph and I'm curious about the idea that perhaps this is about somebody that has sort of been introduced to the concept of a plan of recovery. Since they talk about spiritual bases, they talk about things that are only, I think, unique to somebody that has some sort of idea on how to stop. Because my story starts before then. The evidence that I wanted to stop forever was in the countless number of diets that I went on, the shame that I had around my extreme obesity for all those decades, and then my inability to make good, right decisions and choices for myself and to have relationship with other people. And I did not have any idea that the two connected, that the inability to stop forever when I would go on that diet and a religious basis, I had no idea how to put that together. I tried, you know, certainly I had been exposed to religiosity in my younger youth and I had asked God to save me from the shame and embarrassment of being so obese. Well, I didn't know how to even take that kind of help if God were helping me during that time, probably was. The best way that I knew how to handle that was to get more and more isolated to see if I couldn't stave off the pain. But it brings to mind what I remembered with Bill's three trips to hospital. The first trip to hospital must have been that he wanted to stop forever. Things were collapsing around him. It's just a heartbreaking story to listen to. And he goes to hospital. He meets Dr. Silkworth, and they absolutely leech every snippet of booze out of his body in the processes that they were doing there, the belladonna treatment, water hydrotherapy, things like that, leached it all out. And then patted him on his head and off he went on his way, and he was clean and clear forever, except when he wasn't. And then he went in a second time. Let's just repeat that same scenario, just absolutely heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And he continued to decline. Things continued to get worse, and that certainly was my story as well. It was the third time. Same situation, nothing different in terms of ridding him of this booze, that someone introduced him to a power greater than himself and he had an experience. I think somebody has to almost know this before we can connect the dots. And so my story was every bit of what it needed to be until I got into these rooms and somebody showed me the way, shined the light, and down in that hole that I was in and grabbed my hand and pulled me out. Thank God for that day. And with that, I passed.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. from Oregon. Jen Z., please share with us, followed by Barbara.
Hi, I'm Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. I'm from Los Angeles, California. And it's good to be on the meeting today. I just wanted to jump in real quick. This paragraph talks about the necessity and the wish, you know, to stop forever. And, you know, so much with my compulsive food behaviors, you know, I wanted to stop, you know, I wanted to stop that cycle of the binging, the purging, the starving, the, you know, the dieting and all that stuff. And, you know, I tried for so many years, so many different things, and, you know, and I went to OA and I wasn't ready. You know, I had to, as they say, do more research. And, you know, finally, about a year and a half ago, I came back to the rooms, and a couple months ago, I found Vision, and, you know, I've got a sponsor, and I'm in the process of working the steps, and, you know, I have some relief from the food obsession, from the compulsive food behaviors. You know, it's not perfect, but, you know, I'm trying to work my program as best I can, and I just appreciate everybody's support. And the fact that you guys are here every day. And I just want to thank everybody for their shares and their service. And thank you for listening. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Jen Z from California. Barbara, please share with us. Give me your initial of your last name, and followed by Ann S.
Hi, this is Barbara S. Do you hear me?
I sure do.
Okay, that's good. Very grateful to be on this meeting this morning. The way I could describe the whole OA process after all these years is, for me, it is a safe space. I always wanted to have a guarantee that it would be safe, but it doesn't matter. It's safe today. It's safe as long as I work the program. There are times that I didn't, and I became not spiritual, heavy eating, using food to hide my feelings, and I don't need that. I just need to work program each and every day for the rest of my life. I'm in my 70s, and I'm thankful that I'm at this. I've been at this point before where I felt, oh, all is well, I'm doing program, and then boom. It doesn't disappear. We just have to remember it. I have to remember it. I'm not going to speak for everyone. Every day, there's a way I start my day. There's a way I end my day. There's a healthy way I eat. And I know that God is my safety net. Thank you. Glad to be here. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara S. Ann S., please share with us, followed by Cynthia N., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Ann S. I am a recovering compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And I'm really grateful to be on the call today, and thank you, everyone, for your service. I always think of that line, that utter inability to leave it alone. I just know for me, that is me when I don't place God between me and the food. Absolutely, that utter inability to leave it alone. I cannot stop once I start, and I can't stay stopped. I could stop for periods, but I couldn't stay stopped. And that was just so baffling to me because I tried, I wished, I wanted it, I needed it, but I couldn't stop. That utter inability to leave it alone. Oh, my gosh, that is so me. I am just a real food addict. And I was thinking of the necessity and the wish. I think of the times I've been on so many glorious vacations that I ruined because of my addiction and my obsession to eat. We would, you know, be in glorious places. I remember being in Disney, my absolute favorite place, and just that obsession to eat. I couldn't enjoy the moment. I couldn't enjoy my family. And that was so many, many times, like holidays, no matter what occasion it was, I was always by the tables, hiding, sneaking, lying, and trying to get my fix. So I never was present for any occasions. So yeah, there was just no God between me and the food. So today I really work on that spirituality. I want God to stand between me and the food so the food doesn't come between me and God. And I do that, you know, by my prayer and meditation and my daily practices and attending these meetings and working with my sponsor. Just really grateful today. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ann S. from Pennsylvania. Cynthia N., please share with us, followed by Jordan L. And I'd just like to announce that we're on page 34, the second paragraph, for those who are unable to drink moderately, ending no matter how great the necessity or wish. So commenting on that one paragraph only today. So Cynthia N., please share with us, followed by Jordan L., and then I'll open up the line to take more names.
Hi, this is Cynthia N., and I'm from Pennsylvania, and this is such an important paragraph for me. I was so compelled to share on it. First of all, about in the beginning of the month, I started working with a new vision sponsor, and I have been entirely abstinent since then, which is amazing.
Cynthia, it's a little hard to hear you. Is there some adjustment you could possibly make? We just don't want to miss any words that you're saying.
Okay, I took myself off speaker. I'm not supposed to be on speaker, right?
That's perfect. You sound much better now. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I just started working with a new sponsor in the beginning of October, and I've been entirely abstinent since then, which is a miracle. And I wanted to say how important this paragraph it was. And to start off, I wanted to thank whoever talked a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. I don't know who it was, but she shared that she said a new prayer that was something like, "Dear God, please surrender me." And that just made all the difference in my program, because I've been trying to be to get recovered for decades, in and out of the rooms and in vision, and I just was waiting for the right time. I kept waiting for the worst bottom. And I think another thing that happened to change that just made all the difference was I just got back from a vacation with my husband. It was just a few days. And in the middle of it, I realized I can't live like this, because like the previous sharer said, vacation, you know, I just was not present. And my husband is not a compulsive overeater, and so he really didn't want to eat. All I could think about was when I was going to eat again. And I just thought, I can't live like this. And so, like, I feel like my bottom didn't have anything to do with, like, a last binge or, you know, anything else, except for, you know, the phenomenon of craving was just so terrible that I just couldn't even enjoy my vacation. And so I just feel different this time. I'm going to do this, and I really want it. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cynthia N. And now, Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll open up the lines to take more names.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and excuse me, very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So I would not have chosen the spiritual basis. It just wouldn't have been the path I would have chosen. I tried lots of other things. I do have plenty of character. I did have I have a tremendous urge to cease forever, and I found it impossible. And so it wasn't like any virtue of mine that I submitted to a spiritual basis those are like, those are, you know, those are the best words that I have at this point in time. So what's important about that, is that because of that, like, coming in here, we've read about a couple of different stories now. There's people that had these backgrounds and there's people that didn't. And what's so wonderful about this program is that it works for both of those types of people and any other ones that could come here looking for help. So that this sentence, whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis, depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether or not he will drink, or whether he will drink or not. That's a very important sentence here, because what it tells us, regardless of our religious or spiritual background, is that, like, we really have to understand we have to understand if we are that person who's already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Because there's no guarantees here. My experience with this program is that there is no certitude. I am not certain of anything. I think sometimes the way that we speak, like, sometimes when you've been doing this for a long time, like, we tend to speak with a lot of certitude, or like we're certain that this works or whatever it is. And it's all good. Like, that's good. It's a message of hope, and newcomers need that, right? But really, I'm not certain of anything. It's why I'm still here and I continue to do this. I am just as close to that next bite as the person that has a day. Whoever's closer to the nearest gas station, like, that's what it comes down to. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Now going to open up the line to take more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Teresa from California.
Mo
Teresa.
H.
Mo H.
Dina B.
Dina B.
Tanya G.
Annabelle
Tanya
G. And Annabelle, and we'll stop there. Okay, Teresa, please share with us and give me your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Teresa H. from California. Thank you so much for your service and for everybody that is on the line. I pressed *0, and there's 189 people on this call, and that is just so powerful. It just gives me chicken skin, makes my arm hair stand up. That's really great. What comes to my mind is I remember always wanting the outcome of being thin, but never having, I wanted a free ride. Like, I wanted the look good without putting the effort into the program. And I've been in and out of food 12-step program since 2006, and I'll have years of abstinence, and then I'll break. And I'll leave program, and then I'll come back, you know. And so the line here that says, the question is how to stop altogether. My problem was I never wanted to put in the work. I never wanted to do the program. So I think for me, getting into the solution is every day asking God to help me be willing to put in the work. Don't let me fall into laziness and lazy habits, like, and expecting a free ride. Like, that's not the person that I want to be. I don't want to be somebody that gets something for nothing. I want to be a contributor. And when I contribute, I'm also helping the next overeater. You know, that's how this program works. We help each other. We can't do it by ourselves. And then this utter inability to leave it alone when someone was sharing about that sentence, I realized, like, yeah, I just, once I take that bite, that's it. If I could just not take the first bite, I'd be okay. And I just can't leave it alone. Once I have that first bite, I just can't leave it alone. It's a bad domino effect that happens. So I learned a lot from this reading. Thank you for everyone who's sharing and for everyone who's on the call.
Thank you so much, Teresa H. from California. Mo H., please share with us, followed by Dina B.
Good morning, Dawn. Mo H. here from, I'm on speaker. Let me get off speaker. Hang on. Oh, no. How do I do that? Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay. So my name is Mo H., and I'm from California, Walnut Creek, California, and a recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict. The sentence I want to, or the words I want to zero in on is assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. And I was thinking about that as I was listening to the other shares. And even in the days before OA and I dieted, I don't believe I had the desire to stop. My desire was to lose weight and get thin and fit into my clothes. And I could do that. I had willpower and I could get to a certain weight and be happy and be there for a day or two or maybe a month, but then it would come back. And even after I entered the rooms, I had the lurking notion in the back of my mind that someday, somehow, I could eat like a normal eater, or I could have something at a wedding, or whatever. And I had a sponsor say to me, as long as I had that thought in the back of my head, I was never going to recover. She said, I had to say to myself, that I can't remember the exact words she said, but I could never, ever eat those foods again. I had to get that into my gut, that I had to surrender totally, 100%. That's step one, that we surrender 100%. And I've done it many times in the rooms, but I am so grateful today to have the neutrality around the food, to be working with sponsees, to have a sponsor, to also be really studying the steps and working the steps, and then to be having God at my side, not just in the morning or the evening or at meals or whatever, all day long. All day long I'm talking to God. You know, God, guide me. God, show me your will for me. God, is this what you want for me today? And with that, with all those together, with all of you, and with the steps and with everything like you know, all the steps, traditions, etc., it all works together to help me remain abstinent. And I have the desire now, the 100% desire. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Dina B., please share with us, followed by Tanya G.
Hi, this is Dina B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And no matter how great the necessity or the wish, this describes the battle that I fought until I surrendered my food to God. Enduring hot weather in dark long sleeve shirts and pants, embarrassment, limited mobility, the inability to care for myself properly caused me to desperately want to stop overeating. I would eat while saying to myself, I didn't want to do this. Life was unbearable. I couldn't stop. I couldn't go on. In October of 2013, I surrendered all to God, including anorexia, and haven't looked back. I was a chronic relapser while in the OA rooms. I didn't know the solution then. I'm so very grateful to have found it through God, OA, and my fellows. Your stories keep me going. Stories of relapsing remind me that I'm only one bite away from where I was almost 9 years ago. I was almost 400 pounds. I'm so grateful for all who show up here. Life is worth living again. I want to help others. I want to work the steps. I want to show up, and I do all of these. Thank you to Team Wednesday for your service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina B. from New Hampshire. Tanya G., please share with us, followed by Annabelle Z.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Tanya G. From Louisiana, gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be on the line. I never get to be on, say never, but I never get to be on the line. And I love what was shared earlier, just to kind of piggyback off of that, about I definitely did not want to have anything to do with God, have a spiritual basis. And, you know, regarding the other paragraphs that we've read this week, you know, I could, right? I thought I could. Stop for a while. But guess what? I had to use sugar-free gum, multiple packs. I had to starve myself. I had to, and that, like I heard someone say, with long-term abstinence and recovery, is that willpower has an expiration date. And I'm just so grateful. I just needed to share and connect with everybody. I'm having, my mother's having a medical challenge, and it's just very challenging to rely on that, to God. And so I just need all of y'all and need to connect. And I can get through the crisis a lot of times, but it's the aftermath that gets me. And I'm just trying to, you know, ask God, and y'all are helping me do that, just to remember, just to stay in conscious contact all day long and to talk with higher power. So I thank you all for your shares, and thank you for your recovery, and thank everyone for your service. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya G. from Louisiana. Annabelle Z., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take one or two more names.
Hi, my name is Annabelle Z. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Washington State. Thank you very much for your service and the readers and just everyone who shared so far. I've never spent so much time on this one paragraph, and it finally like lit up the light bulb. For a long time, so I've been in OA for 2 years now, and for a long time I've heard this on and off about that OA is not for people who need it or want it, but who work it. And I just it always kind of like rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm like, but only the third tradition says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. A desire, that's all I need. But it occurs to me that it's the requirement for membership is the desire. Like, I have to have a desire to be a member, otherwise what's the point? But what I'm hearing through this paragraph is the utter inability to leave alone, no matter how great the necessity, the need, or the wish, which is the desire. We just can't leave it alone. We have to have a spiritual change. So I can be a member of OA, but I'm not going to get recovered in full change and have a peaceful ability to get through life without thinking about food. People talk about it like food neutrality. I like that word a lot, to just be neutral. Like, I'm not all excited about it and I'm not repulsed by it. To just be neutral and like, oh, that's what I eat. And I've had that for long periods in the last 2 years. And recently, for whatever reason, I'm kind of feel like I'm white knuckling it. And, you know, it's do I have a desire to stop? I have to think about, what am I trying to stop? I'm trying to stop being obsessed. How am I supposed to do that if the only way to take away that obsession is surrender? And so the best thing I heard this morning was someone said at the very beginning, "Dear God, please surrender me." And I love that. I wrote that down. And the truth is I can be willing, or I could pray for willingness, but you know, to be willing to surrender, it just doesn't, it's almost an oxymoron. Like, it's just an action of going surrender. And so I asked God this morning to please surrender me. And, you know, whether I can do this, one last thing, if I can do this without God, if I can, it means that I haven't lost the power to choose. But I know I've lost the power to choose. I will never forget that day where I'm like, I cannot stop this. Here I am again with my hand in a bag, hiding it on the couch. And, you know, so crazy in my head, completely numb, but yet fearful. And I absolutely have to have a God to get that. to get that mind change. So thank you very much for allowing me to share, and everyone have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Annabelle Z from Washington. And we have time for one more share. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please give me your name.
This is Sarah C.
Sarah C., go ahead.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you for the meeting. And one of the things that has been true for me is that I cannot surrender. I had to be surrendered ED. If I could surrender, I would have done that long ago, and I wouldn't be on the phone with you all. And that's the point for me, is that I cannot surrender. Because to surrender for me is an act of will. Okay, God, I surrender. That's my ego. That's my will. And for me, I had to be brought to my knees. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and exercise bulimic. I had to be brought to my knees in relationship to my exercise bulimia. And the only way that that happened was that my higher power loved me enough to bring me to my knees. I had been on my knees before, but it was always based on my will, and this was not based on my will. And so for me, when I hear the word surrender, that to me is ego, because my ego is saying, okay, I surrender, now what? And I have to be surrendered. And I don't know if that's true for other people, but I have to really be careful of my ego, because my ego always wants to get in there. And, you know, oh, I've surrendered. That's my ego saying, you know, I'm kind of bartering with my higher power. If I do this, will you do this for me? And from in my experience, I had to be surrendered with an ED on the end of it. And I'm so grateful that that happened, because my eyes were just opened. And I have been carried by a power greater than myself through my recovery, and I'm eternally grateful for that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sarah C. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just such a beautiful experience. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.